Let's open our Bibles to Exodus 17. I hope I'll be able to explain to you why I like this picture we're given here in Exodus 17. It's like I like a picture of Gomer. I'm Gomer. I'm left out by myself and provided for unknowingly until the Lord exposed my lewdness and came to me and purchased me with a price. I like that story of the riotous living son. That was me. I took what I thought was good and run off. Come crawling back and found grace. I like the story of his elder brother. There's been times after that I've done what was right. Stuck to it. I got mad. Got jealous. Look at this younger brother I got. Out raising Cain. I've been here faithful. And the Father spoke to me. We're going to see here Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Exodus 17, begin verse 8. Then came Amalek
and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that rod of God in his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I got my title Jehovah Nisi from verse 15 there. It says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. That means the Lord our banner. He's our banner. A banner is a flag. He's an ensign. The words that we use nowadays for all these things are biblical. It's a standard. It's a certain type of flag. A guidon, an ensign, a banner. I was a guidon bearer for about 6 months in the military. I carried the staff with the flag on it for the unit. And everybody in my unit saw that flag. And when they saw the flag, they knew that's where we were supposed to meet. That's where we're supposed to be at. And there was peace. That's where we're supposed to be. They weren't worried. They were in the right place at the right time. When they saw that, there was harmony. We're all one unit. There was unity underneath that banner, underneath that flag. And there was instruction. When the captain would give an order, not everybody could hear. And so that flag would be lifted up, or it'd be pushed out, or it'd be leaned. And whatever that flag did, that was instructions for those that couldn't hear. It was instructions. Christ Jesus is the believer's banner. He's our banner. He said in Isaiah 11, and in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, the rod of Jesse. That's what Moses was holding up. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall be to the Gentiles. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest. That root of Jesse, that banner, it's a person. His rest shall be glorious. Christ Jesus has been given for a banner for the purpose of God's elect scattered throughout the world. Us Gentiles, every tribe and kindred and tongue throughout time that are His, that we might be gathered to Him. Christ is our glorious rest. We come to Him and that's where our rest is. David wrote, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee." The Father gave this banner to those that fear Thee that it might be displayed because of the truth. Christ, our banner, was given by God the Father to us. Christ was given as a banner to them that fear God, them that honor Him, them that know Him, believe Him. And God's given Christ to us as a banner to be displayed. We don't hide this candle underneath the jar, underneath the mattress, do we? It's to be displayed because of the truth, because of who He is, the person and work of Christ, because of what He accomplished. Christ is an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, as David said. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be lifted high so everyone could see Him. In that new heart that He makes in His children. The new heart put in us, the new man. He must be lifted up in our new hearts. And the gospel that goes forth, gospel we support, we proclaim. Christ must be lifted up. And in all of our glorying before God, we lift up what we do. We lift up our choices, our will, what we think, what we've done right and what we've done wrong. No, we exalt Christ. We lift up Christ, our banner. He must be exalted. Now we'll see here in our text why it's necessary for us to exalt Christ, for our banner to be exalted. It says in verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." It says then. Something happened before that, didn't it? In those first few verses, we see Christ the smitten rock. Christ Jesus is that rock. It pictures Him being smitten on the cross and then those waters of life flowing out from Him to His people. The Holy Spirit flows into the heart of His people because of what Christ accomplished in putting away the sin of His people. And His action, what He accomplished. You that believe. You believe because through God the Holy Spirit you've been made a partaker of that divine nature. He circumcised our hearts, given us a new heart. And we're made to drink that water of life freely through faith in Christ. His faith that He's given us, we drink of Him freely. And after we're made to drink that living water from Christ our rock, then came Amalek. They'd been chasing and chiding Moses. The Lord said, "You smite the rock, give them the water from the rock." And then came Amalek. Those Amalekites, those were the descendants of Esau. Remember Jacob and Esau. Jacob was Israel, wasn't he? That was God's people. And picture that physical nation come out of Jacob. And they had all those benefits. That's what Paul was going through with the Romans. Telling them, look at all these benefits they had. They had the tabernacle, the pillar, and the fire, and all these pictures of Christ all throughout. The Lord had blessed them greatly on this earth. But the Amalekites, that's Esau's children. That's his boys. They didn't have that. There was a jealousy. There was an anger. And they came to fight Israel. Israel wasn't fighting the Amalekites. Amalek came after Israel, didn't he? That's why believers, our enemies in this world, they wage war against us. They pick on us, don't they? They chide us, come after us. We have many enemies. We have this whole world as an enemy. Unregenerate people throughout all nations don't care to be around us. Don't care to hear the gospel that we believe, do they? Satan's an enemy of the believer, seeing who he may devour. Coming after us. But you know what our chief enemy is? Our chief Amalekite is? It's the warfare against this old fleshly nature within us. We have two natures. I have no problem telling anybody that. if you don't think you got two, you ain't got two yet. You still got one, but there's an old man and a new man. Paul experienced that, told us plainly. And they're warring. One's attacking the other one. There's a war going on inside of us. But you know that comes after regeneration? Then the Amalekites came. After that water of Christ flows freely in us. We didn't have no problems before. We may have had some inconveniences. We may have had some disturbances in our lives. Things didn't go just right. But that wasn't a war. It might have been some bickering, but it wasn't a war. An outright war. Moses was told to write this for remembrance, to remind Israel of it there in verse 14. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." He said, you tell them, and you tell them often, and write it down and rehearse. You know what we're doing this evening? We're rehearsing this. Our enemies, which include ourselves, my biggest enemy is me, the Lord will utterly put it away. It'll be blotted out. It'll be gone. He's declared war on it. And Moses wrote this down. And he reminded them of it. Later in Deuteronomy 25, he said, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt? How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee." He came up from behind. "Even all that were feeble behind thee when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not God." You know when Amalek come to him? When this old flesh comes? When we're weak, when we're feeble, and when we're bickering. Now we know God. Everything's fine. I don't like the way Moses did that. You think they were bickering at Moses before he smote the rock? Do you think they bickered after? He should have smote that rock sooner. He should have maybe put a little pond there so we could get some water later and come up when we want to. That's when Amalek came. The children of Israel had been quarreling, chiding against Moses. And they were feeble, they were faint, and they were weary. They were distracted by all this bickering. And Amalek took advantage. Now we notice this in our text. We're called to warfare. This isn't something that may come to pass. This isn't something that you can choose to take up or not. It's something that's going to happen. The true Israel of God are God's chosen people, called into His light from all four corners of the earth to Christ our banner. And we're called on by Christ our Savior to fight the enemy. That's what we looked at this morning. To put off the old man and put on the new. That's a daily struggle to constantly do it. He says in verse 9 there, "And Moses," it's a picture of the law, isn't it? "And Moses said unto Joshua," Joshua means Savior, "Jehovah saves, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Them people that you choose, Joshua, they can't fight for themselves. They ain't going to win. You're going to have to do it for them. You're going to have to go out and lead them. You have to go out and be their captain." It says, "Go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand upon the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. We see first there the rod of God. That rod represents our banner. Christ is the rod of God. Remember, Aaron's rod became the serpent. He said, "You go in there in front of Pharaoh, you throw that rod down, and it'll become a serpent." Well, he got the soothsayers to come in. They threw their rods down, they become serpents too. That one wasn't like all the other ones, was it? It went around and ate up all them other ones. That's the rod of the Lord. Christ is our strength. And as long as a believer beholds Christ through His gospel of Him crucified, through the work of the Spirit, our confidence is in Christ alone, and we prevail in this warfare. As long as we're looking up to Him, looking at Him being exalted, we're winning. We're prevailing. But when Christ is not exalted, when that's not the most important thing, when something else is going on, it's just a little bit more important. Maybe we ought to talk about this other stuff. He's let down. And you lose. Not prevailing. being destroyed. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. As believers, as heirs of God, sons and daughters of God, we must always keep our full attention on Christ our banner, the Lord our banner. There in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brethren that are in the world. This is the same for everyone in Israel, isn't it? Amalek's coming up behind us when we're bickering, when we're looking at something else. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered for a while. Well, we ain't going to go to war. We're doing what's right. No, we're going to suffer some. There's going to be tribulation. It's going to happen. After that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What's going to be the result of all that? Of him doing that for his people. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. If we're prevailing in this battle, we're going to be shown that it's Christ being exalted that makes us prevail. That's what Paul told the Colossians, said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Now, I always picture like one of Louis L'Amour books. Out there in Arizona or whatever, the big bluffs, you know, close to the Grand Canyon or something. Moses is up there where everybody in the valley can see him. And they're looking up to that banner, that rod being lifted. And as they do it, every time they fight, they're losing. When they look to that, they're winning. So must be fighting with one eye and hand this way and looking up with that eye. It's a hard struggle, isn't it? That's our daily life. Now back in our text there, the Lord our banner, he's our strength in this warfare. He's our strength because of the glory of Christ's person, because of who he is. Notice there that Joshua went into battle with him. Christ is God with us, Emmanuel. He's the captain of our warfare, and he's with us. He said, Matthew 28, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Why is he our strength? He's with us. He's able to be our strength. Next, he's our strength because of the success of his atonement. What he was sent to do. He said in Hebrews 1, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He was given a task, wasn't he? He was given a charge, and he completed it. He did it by himself. Said, by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't go try, he obtained. It was completed. He's our strength because of the capability of Christ working in his people. There in Colossians 2, it says, we're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom we're circumcised. He's the one that did that. He circumcised our hearts. And putting off of the body the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And we're buried with him in baptism. When was I baptized? I was baptized 2,000 years ago. When John the Baptist baptized Christ. That's what the Father sees. He said, it behooves us that we do this. And we're risen with him through his faith, who raised him from the dead. That means the atonement was successful. He did obtain. He was a propitiation. Is it our strength? Is it our faith in any of this? He goes on and says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. And he's forgiven all of our trespasses. What was we doing while all this happened? We were dead. He had to perform it all. Lord, our banner is our strength because of the power of Christ in preserving grace. He set out in his person to accomplish the work, and he did. He accomplished it. He saved his people, and then he preserves his people. And 1 Peter says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He keeps us. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He started this work. He's with us always in this battle, and he'll keep us to the end. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What do we commit against to him? Lord, you are our strength. You are our banner. All these men fought there against the Amalekites. They could see that rod of God upon a mountain like soldiers looking at a flag in battle. They might be wounded. They might be tired. Might be sore. But Christ, our banner, is our strength as we fight this battle. And it's made known. It's not hypothetical. It'll be proved to us that he's our strength. It says there in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here Moses is a picture of Christ's preachers. Get weary. That battle's long. We become weary. I don't tell you all about that all the time, but there's times I get weary. Get tired. Get weak. The enemy within and without is too mighty. It's too mighty. And it often appears like that enemy's going to prevail. This is it. What are we going to do? But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's not carnal about that? There's two ways of looking at this, and I want to tell you both of them. Moses is there holding up that banner of God, the Lord our banner. And he's got his brethren on either side of him, his older brothers on one side, hers on the other. And they're comforting him and helping him, aren't they? Supporting him. Helping him exalt Christ. What a beautiful picture. We need one another, don't we? We do. But also Aaron's holding up that rod of God. And on one side, who's working in Aaron? Who's working in her? Aaron was a high priest, wasn't he? That was his elder brother. As a high priest, he's the one that made the sacrifices. He was bloody. A picture of Christ. He's always sitting on his throne interceding for his people. On the other side of him, her. His name means white light. The light of God. The Holy Spirit comes supporting the other side of him. Upholding him. Praying. Turn those prayers into groanings which can't be uttered. Translating our prayers for us. One making intercession, one translating always. There again, that's not of us, is it? And just as Joshua did here with these Amalekites, all of our enemies, they're conquered through the sword of the gospel. That's what discomfited them, was his sword. Sword of the gospel. God uses those called by his grace, our brethren, to encourage one another, to point one another to Christ, just as Aaron and Hur helped Moses. And through that word of his grace, Christ our high priest, through the Holy Spirit, he sets us upon Christ our foundation stone, that chief cornerstone. We're rested on him, we're supported by him, and we're exalting him. We just happen to be there. We ain't lifting a finger. He's doing all of it. It says in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This ain't going to stop. If I have great, 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 great grandchildren, and one of them happens to be called by God, loved by Him before time, and the Holy Spirit comes to them, gives them a rebirth in their heart, gives them that new birth, teaches them who Christ is, that He's our banner, and that great, great, great grandchild looks to Him, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a war with Amalek inside of their heart until the sun goes down. Either in their life, my life, whenever this body of death goes away, that sun's going to go down, and that war's going to be over, and all those sins blotted out forever to be remembered no more, and I'll be made like Christ. What a day that'll be. And when that last day of this earth comes, that last child of God is brought to know Christ, the sun's going to go down. That war with Amalek's going to be over. We see there Moses didn't give himself the glory, did he? He didn't say, I'm going to build me an altar, a memorial that I held up this rod the whole time. And he didn't have, this wasn't a fallen soldier's memorial. Put a big granite wall up so we remember everybody that fought in the battle. No, he called the name of it Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. He's my banner. Our great God assures His children, that's His promise to us, that Christ will ultimately prevail over all of our enemies. Enemies of this world, enemies of Satan, the enemies of ourselves. He will be the victor. Because He has already prevailed. We don't grasp that. I don't grasp that as I wish I could. He said in John 16, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, anything in this whole wide world, what could I be worried about? Well, I just look to Him, the Lord my banner. He's overcome the world. That's what He's telling Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. We're going to fight this battle, but it's already accomplished. And the better news is that our iniquities is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now under this banner, in the military, you see people from all walks of life. All races, all nationalities, all backgrounds, from all over the place. Some rich, some poor. And they're all united under that one banner. We got the stars and stripes. We might be from a lot of different places, but we all have that flag on our shoulder. We wear the same flag. No. Christ is that union for all believers. Because He's accomplished our warfare and He's paid for our sins. Every one of them. Just the same. And we unite under that one that loved us and gave Himself for us. Every believer does. No matter who they are. That's what Paul was telling the church at Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How do we know which ones were the Israelites? Those that were gathered underneath Jehovah Nisi. Those that rallied to Him. How do we know that we're Christ? We cling to Him. We look to Him. We trust Him. Christ is the banner of His church, and under that banner, we fight. We're called to service. We fight this old nature that we're born with. And under this banner, we prevail. Looking to Him. And to this banner, we rally. We run to Him. That's where safety is. That's where peace is. That's where His victory is. And we glory Him for it. Amen. Let's pray.